Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the Crescent Hotel. The Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, has a reputation of being one of the most haunted buildings in the United States. It was originally built in 1886 as a resort or almost private club for the rich and famous, but quickly became unmanageable and fell into disrepair. In 1908, it was reopened as the Crescent College and Conservatory for Young Women. This institution closed down in 1924 and then opened again in 1930 as a junior college. After the college closed in 1934, the Crescent was leased again as a summer hotel. In 1937, a new owner, Norman G. Baker, turned the place into a hospital and what was known at the time as a health resort. Baker, who's a millionaire, inventor, and radio personality, styled himself as a doctor despite having no real medical training. He claimed to have discovered a number of cures for various ailments, including cancer, and launched frequent attacks on organized medicine, which he accused of being corrupt and often profit-driven. Having been run out of Iowa for practicing medicine without a license, Baker moved his cancer patients to Arkansas and advertised his new health resort at the Crescent. His cure consisted primarily of drinking the area's natural spring water. In 1940, federal charges were filed against Baker for mail fraud, and he spent 4 years in prison. The Crescent Hotel was left ownerless until 1946, at which point a group of investors came in and purchased the property. On March 15th of 1967, the hotel was nearly burned to the ground, the only living owner at the time being Dwight Nichols. The hotel then fell into many more years of disrepair until 1997, when the hotel was spared what could have been one of the strangest turns in its history, as becoming a possible chicken farm. Luckily, the new owners saw the potential and respected the history of the building and turned it into what is now known as the Crescent Hotel. Aside from being a luxurious hotel and resort and spa, it is still known as one of the most haunted hotels in America. This is the story of the Crescent Hotel on The Grave Talks.
Well, in order to appreciate the building itself and its location, it's necessary to explain the town that it actually sits above. It's on a mountaintop looking down into a very steep-sided valley, and the valley is where the town of Eureka Springs is situated. It's sort of clinging to the sides of the valley, and it's the last place in the world anybody in their right mind would build a town. But it develops there because of a spring. The spring was known by the Osage Indians, who occupied this territory for some 800 years, as a healing spring. And they allowed even Native American tribes that were their enemies to come in and use the spring. The only stipulation was that they could not bring their weapons into the valley, and nobody lived in the valley. It was only used for little ceremonies. It's actually sitting, it's a cleft in a hilltop that's the highest point in the Ozarks, and was kind of, nobody knew it was there. It was a hidden valley. So when the Native Americans were moved out of here in the early part of the 1800s, the location of the spring was lost, although it was remembered in legend, and people would go looking for it, this magic, as they called it, Indian spring at the time. Well, in 1856, a hunter was up here with his son. His son had sore eyes, and the hunter, who was also a doctor, advise his son to go bathe your eyes in that spring over there. Son bathed his eyes, and according to the legend, and according to the doctor's testimony, written testimony, his son's eyes were cured. And so the doctor went to investigate the spring. And here's the interesting part. About 300 years ago or so, we think, an Osage chieftain named Black Dog cut a basin, hand-chiseled a basin into a flat rock to catch the waters of the spring that were tumbling down the mountainside to make it easier for his people to dip their wounds in and to drink from. And when the doctor investigated the spring that had cured his son's eyes, he found a hand-chiseled basin in the rock. And that was the identification that proved to him that he had found the Indian spring that people had been looking for decades. And so, being a good entrepreneur, he immediately started to sell the waters from the spring. He bought it Dr. Jackson's Eye Water and sold it around four states around here and made himself quite a little living. Well, then along came the Civil War, and his business was suspended, but he actually, as a doctor, was nursing soldiers from both sides of the conflict and using this waters and his own skills to help them recover. After the Civil War, he did not pick up his business again, and nothing really happened until the year 1879. When he told a friend of his, a judge from Texas who lived in a nearby town of Berryville, about the spring, the judge was suffering from something called erysipelas, which is a bunch of running sores on the legs that would not heal up. So the doctor took his friend up to the spring. He stuck his leg in the waters, and lo and behold, he was cured too. So he notified all his family, and pretty soon there were 400 people camped around the spring in wagons and tents. And within 8 months, there were 15,000 people here.
The allure of Eureka Springs obviously drew many, many people to its very, very steep roads and valleys. And a town developed and grew very, very quickly.
Yeah, there are 2,000 people here now, and it feels like kind of crowded. But 15,000 people, they were on the steep side of the valley, so which at that time was very thickly wooded, with the largest stand of white oak in the country. So they chopped down all the trees. They leveled the ground wherever they could. They built on top of each other's houses wherever they could erect a dwelling. And they named the town Eureka Springs. Within a couple of years, all those people, those 15,000 people who came to town, they were all sick. And they were all bringing a variety of illnesses with them. And when they arrived, there were absolutely no services. There was no sanitation. There was no anything, just the spring. And then more and more springs were discovered, till now we have 63 springs. They all put out their claims for being healing springs, and different springs were supposedly good for different things. The interesting thing is that we have hundreds of testimonials from people who were cured, apparently, by the springs, however you choose to explain that. This is, of course, before science took over from superstition. So this was at the 1880s, and a gentleman came to town who saw the mess that was these people trying to survive in these overcrowded, unsanitary conditions, and had a vision of a health resort. His name was Powell Clayton, and he's the first governor of Arkansas after the Civil War. He saw the state through Reconstruction. He was a northerner. He was not all that popular, but he was a civil engineer, and he was a go-getter, and he had good connections. So he got a group of his business acquaintances together, including people from the railroads, and they set about creating a city out of the mess that was Eureka Springs at the time. So they laid in some streets and some street lighting. They laid in some transportation and some sanitation and drainage, and And they brought in, the important thing is they brought in the railroad, brought in a branch line down from Seligman, 26 miles across some of the roughest terrain, crossing and recrossing rivers, blasting big gaps in cliff sides, and apparently the most expensive railroad line built in the country up until that time, 26 miles of it. So at the end of that railroad line, the governor, ex-governor, they called him the Brigadier General, is what they always called him, because it was his title in the Civil War. He built a hotel. He built the Crescent Hotel, which at that time was the finest hotel west of the Mississippi. It had, it had a working elevator. It had Edison lighting, steam heat. It had a huge ballroom with an in-house orchestra. They had a stable for 100 horses. They had tennis courts and swimming pools and even bowling alleys. They had everything there for a very, very luxurious stay for anybody who happened to know Powell Clayton. It was called a hotel, but really speaking, you had to be on a list in order to get in. Just about as hard as getting to a club in Los Angeles. It was not anybody could make a reservation.
A very exclusive building for very exclusive people of the day with very exclusive decisions to be made.
I think of this as Powell Clayton's kind of like his own Camp David. He was still very involved in politics, even though he was no longer in office. But I think that a lot of the decisions that were made about the future of this region got made behind closed doors, over brandy and cigars probably, within the walls of the Crescent Hotel. It's, if you look at it today, it stands on top of a mountain. It's got 360 views on all sides, so you can see his forest when you look out, but all the way to the horizon, and its walls are dry-stacked limestone, 18 inches thick and 3 feet thick in some places, so the place looks kind of like a fortress. And in those days, the 1880s, there was still a whole lot of turmoil in the state, and a lot of people had refused to accept that the Civil War was over, and there was a lot of insecurity. So I believe that's the reason why it looks more like a castle than it looks like what you might expect from a regular hotel. So the building has tons of character. It's an amazing location. It looks down over the valley. It's sort of presiding over the city, the small city down below. And our very first ghost, actually, that we have record of in the hotel is from one of the stonemasons who built the Crescent Hotel in the first place. It was built in 1886, started in 84, at a cost of $294,000. One of the stonemasons, young man named Michael, we believe, fell to his death from the very top when he was working before all the rooms were put in, when it was just a shell. He took a fall. The story is that he just liked the girls, and he saw a beautiful girl walking down below and tried to get her attention, and it didn't work. So he tried a little harder, and eventually he was dancing up and down on top of the wall and took a tumble all the way down the middle. And he landed on a beam and lost his life. The beam is now the floor of room 218, which is our most notorious and most requested room in the hotel. That was the very first of the spirits that inhabit the building came from its construction, and that may have something to do with why it became so active in future years. Well, that takes us up as far as the direction of the building, construction of the building. Around the turn of the century, for one reason or another, people stopped coming to take the waters in such great numbers. Maybe they stopped working for one reason or another. Maybe people stopped believing that they would work. But anyway, around the same time, Powell Clayton got kicked upstairs. He got made the first ambassador to Mexico from the United States. So he left town, and there was a recession. The railroad withdrew all its funding from the hotel, which it had supported. And the hotel sort of went on the skids for a little while. And so in 1908, to maintain the building, it was leased out as a woman's college.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.